Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Open talk to begin the program today. Later, we're going to be talking about taking care of your house plants. Do you have house plants? Yeah? I think everybody has, most people at least, have some. I have a lot. I like house plants. They can be tough to take care of. Not enough water, too much water, not enough light, too much light. We'll be talking about that with a horticulturalist, master's in horticulture, as a matter of fact. Leslie Halleck will be joining us to talk about caring for your health plants. Also scheduled to chat with us later on the program today, Dr. Michael Rosen, MD, will be talking about risky drug and nutrient interactions that you may not be aware of. So all of that coming up later on the program today. But it's open talk, first of all. 283-2525 is our number. Did you get high water again today? Wow. We have really had storms move through the area. In fact, there were some before dawn this morning. If you were not awakened by the thunder and the lightning during the night, pre-dawn hours, then you are a really sound sleeper, because Mother Nature put on quite a thunder and lightning show, depending on where you are, around 4:35 o'clock this morning. We had some real storms move through most of our listening area. And I know when I was coming to work here this morning, a little after 5 o'clock, the streets were just full of water. It was running everywhere, ponding. It was a real mess. And then that tapered off and moved out. And then we had another round, another go-round later in the morning, mid-morning, that hit at least most of us, some places harder than others. Allegheny County in particular just got absolutely deluged, Allegheny and Westmoreland counties. Now, we got some torrential downpours here in the Butler area, but it was far worse in the North Hills and other parts of Allegheny County, and they've still got a lot of roads closed down there due to high water. This is becoming pretty commonplace, isn't it? Very strange. You know, I can remember in years gone by when we got to this time of year, July, late June, July, August, we would go long periods without any rain. We had drought warnings, right? Remember those? Seems like a long time ago. Drought warnings. When your lawn would turn yellow and then eventually brown, dead. Didn't have to cut the grass. You're lucky to keep your grass. When the water levels in our reservoirs would drop. Remember when you have dangerous levels at Oneida Reservoir along Route 38 north of Butler, which supplies water to many, many communities, including the entire Butler area. And we have dangerously low levels there, and they'd have to pump water in from the Allegheny River to make sure we had enough in Oneida Reservoir. When's the last time we had that? I don't know. Certainly not for the last two summers. Last summer was really wet. This summer's really wet. And these torrential downpours, I mean, you know, you'd have them once in a while. I can remember as a kid, you'd have a thunderstorm occasionally, usually pretty fast moving. I never remember these problems with landslides that we have all the time now. You know, there were many more of those, again, this morning, mainly in Allegheny and Westmoreland counties. And that's become commonplace. Landslides, road closings because of landslides, high water. I mean, it's not that we didn't have it in years gone by, but we certainly didn't have it with the regularity that we've got it now. And by the way, we're not out of the woods today, even though the latest round has moved out of most of our listening area now. I'm just checking National Weather Service radar. Even the worst of it is moving out of Westmoreland County and It's up in the ridges now. Latrobe, Ligonier, headed on toward Johnstown. We've got more coming. In fact, we may have even more severe weather this afternoon than we've had already this morning. Probably not until mid or late afternoon, a few hours down the road, but be prepared. And if you're driving, be especially prepared. Never try to drive through high water. And if you can, you know, keep an eye on the radar. We'll keep an eye on it for you, too. And plan your outings so that maybe you can miss the heaviest rain. Pretty common these days, huh? Did you have high water or power outages or anything like that because of the storms this morning? 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525, open talk here on a Thursday. Well, I had to chuckle at the news story we had today about the Slippery Rock University T-shirts that are now available for purchase by the public. T-shirts say, yes, there is a Slippery Rock University, in reference to the idiotic claim by Dr. Phil McGraw back earlier this year, back in April, I guess it was, when he was asked about the scandal of rich people bribing colleges to get their kids in. And Dr. Phil said, well, it's not really about that. It's all status, you know. Parents want to be able to say that their kid went to Harvard or Yale and not Slippery Rock. Well, that certainly created a firestorm here in our area and across the nation with Slippery Rock alums. And then this bozo, that is the worst part of all. Instead of admitting that he, you know, he shouldn't have said that, a couple of days later he claimed, well, I didn't really know there was a Slippery Rock. I had no idea there was really a Slippery Rock University. You mean to tell me he just pulled that out of a hat, out of nowhere? I mean, that is just implausible. It's totally unbelievable. Why lie about it? Why don't you just say, hey, I shouldn't have said that. That was stupid. I'm sorry. But no, he's going to say, well, I didn't even know there was a Slippery Rock. Well, I love the way the Slippery Rock folks have capitalized on that by making up these T-shirts that say, yes, there is a Slippery Rock University. It's good stuff. If you want to get one, they're $10. Get them at the Slippery Rock University bookstore or online. Okay, let's get to the people here. It's open talk after all at 283-2525, 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Dave. This is Frank from Kansasburg.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. Well, I listen to a lot of talk radio, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is a speech epidemic.
I'm sorry, we couldn't quite understand you there. We don't have the best of connections. What did you say again?
Some kind of speech epidemic, because these people that call, they keep on saying, I know, and I mean, and okay, professional people talk this way. I'm sure you noticed that.
I have. There are certain things that people sometimes say. They use it as kind of a verbal crutch. I know there's a lot of younger people these days, a lot of younger generation that say like all the time, you know, like like this, like that, like, and it does kind of drive you crazy every once in a while.
Yeah, you have some new ones. sometimes I turn radio and they say, I know, three times within 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I shut it off.
I hear what you're coming. I hear where you're coming from. Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't there a time when, the world ain't, I had a big controversy of that, and I think they put it in the dictionary. Is that true?
You say the word ain't? Is that what you're talking about?
Ain't. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's not considered, you know, really proper English. Some people still say it,
I think they did put it in the dictionary. Check it out, okay?
Okay, will do.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Sure. Good to talk with you. I don't know whether that's officially a word or not. Most folks kind of use it as sort of a joke. You know, if they're trying to imitate somebody who lacks proper education or proper grammar. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk here on the program today. 283-2525. Open talk. These stories about Jeffrey Epstein, have you followed those in the news for the past few days? What kind of a weirdo? This is an adult male. I'm not quite sure how old he is, but he's no spring chicken. But what kind of a guy, and this guy is rich, what kind of a guy goes around exploiting girls? Young women, some of them as young as age 14, grooming them for exploitation. I don't know. I mean, I've seen the news stories over the past, especially the past week or so. Latest indictment against Jeffrey Epstein. He's a wealthy financier. He's now been charged with operating and conspiring to operate a sex trafficking ring of girls out of his luxurious homes, both in Palm Beach, Florida, and in the Upper East Side of Manhattan, among other locations. Well, what is it that people like this have all the money in the world, all the money they could ever want? I don't know. And, of course, the latest controversy brings up the fact that there's really nothing new for this Epstein guy. The allegations are very similar to what he faced in Florida more than 10 years ago when federal prosecutors for the Southern District of Florida helped arrange a plea deal for Epstein in exchange for his pleading guilty to two state counts of soliciting prostitution from a minor. He avoided a federal indictment that could have put him in prison for life. Instead, he served 13 months in a private wing of a Palm Beach County jail, where work release privileges allowed him to spend 12 hours a day, 6 days a week in his private office. And then that thing ends, and then now we got this thing again. What kind of a person does this? Lock them up and throw away the key is what most people would say, I think, right? Back to the people we go. It's open talk. Here's the phone number, 283-2525. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Well, I have no use for people like that. It's terrible. They pry on the young and innocent.
Yes.
And most of them are kids that are poor that need money, and they promise it to them, and there you go, you know?
This guy, this Epstein guy, Jeffrey Epstein, he even had a team of people who would go out and look for these young girls.
Well, and that one young girl was on TV. It was a woman that approached her. A woman, yes. Well, I've seen that on TV.
Well, then they should
go. That's really what she told, what went on.
I've seen the interviews of some of these, you know, they were young girls. They're grown women now, but telling their stories. And this team of people that would go out for him in this sex trafficking ring, they ought to go after them, too, not just Epstein. I mean, they knew what he was doing, right?
Yeah, and they're all big club together or something. But I'm going to change the subject.
Sure,
okay?
quite all right. It's open talk. Go right ahead. You've got the floor.
I was listening to another station the other day about advertisements on TV that are bad for our young people, you know,
mm-hmm.
like the cigarette thing and those puffers, whatever they use. But some of these commercials on TV for insurance companies,
mm-hmm.
the one I see is just horrible. My grandson said, "Boy, Grandma, they teach you how to break into a car, don't they?" This guy calls another guy up, and then he goes and he smashes his window out with this great big thing he's carrying, gets in the car, laughs, goes down, smash into a motorcycle, and out the road and laugh and still in the car.
Now, what does that tell our young people,
huh?
I know the commercial that you're talking about.
I didn't want to mention a name. I don't know if they're allowed to do that.
Well, many of the TV insurance commercials now, they're trying to be funny. They all seem to be following the lead of Geico, you know, which started with that.
I know, but some of them are comic. Some of them are nice. But that one's horrible. I even called that company. I did. I called the big number, and I don't know if they cut me off or not because I wasn't in their insurance group, okay? But and in those commercials where they have, what is that thing the kids smoke now instead of a cigarette? What do you call those?
Electronic cigarettes.
Yeah. So those things, too. And, you know, it entices. But like my great-grandson said, he's 13, he says, wow, Grandma, that's how you show how to do that. Is that what people do? That's match into people's cars and take them? So what was that sending to that my grandson at 13?
Yeah. I didn't know, do they have TV commercials for those e-cigarettes? I don't recall seeing any of those.
I think I have, yeah. They show, you know, somebody smoking. But I don't know which one it was. I know I heard it on another station, thinking that's really bad for the kids, you know? So I'm just calling our station to say I don't approve of that commercial at all.
Well, they have nicotine in. That's why they're still addictive.
Well, those kids take them in school and smoke them, I understood.
Yeah. Most school districts now have amended their student handbooks to prohibit that in school, but we still see many, many stories of, you know, kids taking them to school.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Then if they get them taken off of them, they try to convince their parents or grandparents to go get them for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know my one daughter said, she's not going. Grandma's not going. So I hate to be so nasty, but all the rest are kind of cute or, you know, funny and not harmful, but I think that's harmful, that one. I really do. You
all
know?
Right. Did you get any response when you called that particular insurance company?
I didn't call that station, no. I always call my own station.
Okay, my friend.
I haven't tried calling that station. I tried to get their number, and I might do that the next time they're on talking about that subject. But anyway, I just wanted to ask you what you thought of something like that. I mean, the rest of them are funny and comic and goofy, but that one's really, I think. You know, teach a kid how you smash the window in the car. Will a side window smash that fast? I understand your front window can break quicker than any other window in your car if you're in a situation you need to get out. But I'm not sure. So, okay, enough complaining.
It's okay. Thanks for joining us today. Good to talk with you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So long. 283-2525, our number, Open Talk. The TV commercials that get me the most these days are the drug commercials for drugs. And you know, if you're watching newscasts, and I don't care whether it's a local Pittsburgh newscast on TV or any of the national newscasts, CBS, ABC, NBC, the cable channels, man, these drug commercials are just all over the place for just about anything and everything that you can imagine. And for so many of them, there's, you know, a brief bit about whatever condition or illness they're talking about. And then there's this long list of side effects that, you know, they put a disclaimer on the end. There's one particular diet, and I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. I swear to goodness, it's about 15 seconds on the drug and then 45 seconds on the various side effects that may occur, including sometimes, you know, things like cancer and stuff like that. And you got to wonder, why would you ever take that drug if there's the risk of all these incredibly dangerous side effects? Very strange. But this is relatively new, by the way. Within the past, what, the past decade that we started to see these drug commercials on TV? Yeah. And now, man, they're all over the place. Really, all over the place. That bugs me in a minor way. No big deal. If you're watching TV and that comes on, you just click on mute, you know, for a while, or flip it to another channel for a while. But I watch a good bit of news on TV, and it seems like they really, really pepper the newscasts with those things. 283-2525 is the number. It's open talk here on the It's Your Turn program today, 283-2525. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Hey, hang on. It's only a week or so until they begin their weekly collections of excess produce from backyard gardeners. This is something they've done for, well, several years now, and it's really been a great help to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. Now, they don't want all of your tomatoes or peppers or beans or whatever you have, but if you have a little to spare, you know, you've given to family and friends and neighbors and Aunt Ethel and everyone else, consider donating excess garden produce to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. They will be starting their weekly collection on July 20th, so that's just around the corner. We'll give you the details on that next week. But just think about it. A lot of folks have done this over the past couple of years, and it's been a great boon for the families who rely on the food bank. Society of St. Vincent de Paul, we stand at tallest when we stoop to help others. They do wonderful, wonderful things for the less fortunate in our community. Okay, back to the phones we go. It's open talk at 283-2525. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
How you doing, Dave?
Pretty good. Sounds like you're calling from Siberia or somewhere.
Well, I'm in my truck on the highway, but oh. I'm calling on your comment on the drug companies and the advertising.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's come about full circle. I'm a pretty old guy. I've been around since radio. But anyhow, it used to be that the drug companies, and thank God for the drug companies because they do the research and come up with new cures, but number one, they are a corporation obliged to make a profit for their shareholders. But anyhow, what they used to do, they used to have salespeople. They usually hired nice-looking young women who would go in and call on the doctors and give them some samples, and anyhow, they smoothed them up, and they around the early 60s, they got sued for bribery and collusion and so forth because they were paying off the doctors to use their product.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, what they've done now, they have made us, the patients, the out the salesperson for their drug because now they've eliminated a large portion of their field sales force and rely on TV advertising and print advertising. And the patient sees it, and then he goes in the doctor, he says, hey, how about giving me this XYZ drug? And that's why, that's the evolution from my information on that whole process.
I would agree with you on that. Yeah, because
it's kind of pick what you want to die from. If you're dying from leukemia, we may be able to step it up a notch and give you lung cancer, you know?
I chuckle too sometimes, but my goodness, the list of side effects that they put on after advertising these drugs sometimes, it really makes you wonder whether it would be worth taking them or not, you know.
The one that caught my attention more than anything, which really gives you kind of the fix on the mentality of our society, was one for women, which clears your skin. If you take this drug, you'll have clear skin with no moles or freckles or bumps or whatever. But the list of side effects, one of them included, was cancer. So, you know, I'm going to trade my freckles in on cancer.
Yeah, you know? And I've heard, I don't remember.
That's our society. You know, remember the old Saturday Night Live guy, Billy Crystal played him. He's, to look good is to feel good, you know?
Yes, that's true. That's a long time ago,
too. See you
too.
Later.
Thanks, my friend. Drive carefully. Drive carefully. I can't remember exactly which drug it is because there's a gazillion of them for just about every condition you could imagine. But when they're given that long list of disclaimers, the announcer says, and it says, certain cancers may occur. And I'm thinking, what? You take this pill? Oh, well. But it's a good point that that gentleman made. Because, and I've talked to some physicians who say, you know, people come in and they say, how about this drug? How about prescribing this for me? And the only reason they know about it is because they saw the commercial on TV. You know, would it be a better idea to let your doctor come up with what he or she thinks is the best drug for a particular condition? Who knows? That's the society that we live in. By the way, speaking of smoking, one of our earlier callers was talking about the e-cigarettes or the electronic cigarettes. I was watching a special on, it was on PBS. PBS has been doing some shows on the upcoming anniversary of the first man on the moon, you know. The anniversary will be in another week or so. And I was watching last night, and they had all these pictures of the NASA headquarters, you know, where they were all, and all the engineers were sitting in front of these banks of TV screens waiting for Neil Armstrong to step on the moon. I couldn't believe how many of these guys were smoking. They had ashtrays on all these, and they're all smoking up a storm. I thought, boy, oh boy, that was 50 years ago. You certainly wouldn't see that today. We know a lot more about the dangers of smoking, and a lot fewer people are smoking, too. Okay, back to the phones we go. Open Talk. Hi, caller. Thanks for waiting. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm going to make a comment. Every time I go up to Alameda, and like yesterday, it was after 3 o'clock, there's always somebody up by the fence smoking. Yesterday, there was two young boys in the shelter, and they had an e-cigarette, and then two other girls came up and got a puff and left. But I didn't want to go and report it then because I didn't want to make it obvious. But when I left, I did tell the lady at the desk about the situation. But I know the lifeguards are there for the safety of the people in the water, but these people know they can get away with smoking up there by the fence.
And you said these were young people, you thought?
Yes, and last week there was an older guy. He was up there smoking a cigar. So I hope they maybe check into it, but okay, I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank
sure,
you.
Sure, thanks, Watt. I can appreciate your concern. I know that there are far fewer people smoking these days. I've seen reports and statistics indicating that smoking is down among young people. That's smoking of actual cigarettes, although the e-cigarettes, that use is up tremendously, and some of those companies aim their advertising, obviously aim it at young people. There's something called Juul, I think, is that J-U-L-E, is that how you pronounce that? Juul, and that's a particular brand that seems to be very popular among young people. And you know, when you smoke those things, you're still addicted. I mean, they contain nicotine. And as far as what I read, the jury is still out on health hazards. Okay, so you're not actually smoking tobacco, but you've still got the nicotine, and well, we'll see. But why get addicted to that stuff to begin with, you know? Nicotine, why? Why do it? I don't know. There was a time when smoking was cool. If you look back at old movies, you know, if you're watching old black and white movies on Turner Classic Movies, there's a lot of smoking that goes on. A lot more than you see today, that's for sure. And as I mentioned, I was watching, it was last night on PBS. They've been doing a number of specials on leading up to the anniversary of the Neil Armstrong's walking on the moon, man on the moon. And I was startled last night to see these many, many clips of these NASA engineers. And look, almost all of them were smoking cigarettes. You know, when they're in the NASA headquarters there, watching on those banks of screens and everything, you know. Got big ashtrays there overflowing with cigarettes. I thought, wow. How times change, huh? When did the Surgeon General come out with the report that definitively said smoking was bad for your health? 1950s? A little before my time, I think. Maybe late 50s? But it took a while before it really settled in. And, of course, then eventually we had the banning of advertising of cigarettes on TV. Back in the early days of TV and radio, for that matter, cigarette advertising was all over the place. There were even shows that were, you know, such and such a program brought to you by Lucky Strike or Camels or whatever. They were, not only did they advertise the product during the show, but it was part of the title of the show. And that was quite common in the early days of radio and TV. And then that was banned from radio and television. There's no smoking commercials, no cigarette commercials on anymore. I don't know whether they can still advertise cigars or not. There was a time that they could, even after cigarette advertising was banned. I'm not sure. Times have changed. Take a break. We will come back with more of It's Your Turn here on WISR, the Thursday edition, right after these words.
Gut feeling or chronic pain? It could be both. Chronic pain is a symptom of many GI disorders, including endometriosis, PCOS, pelvic inflammatory disease, IBS, hepatitis, and many others. If you're looking for a holistic, all-natural pain relief without the risk of side effects or addiction, medical cannabis might be right for you. Find out how to get your medical marijuana card by calling Compassionate Certification Centers at 888-316-9085 or visit cccregister.com.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
With temperatures rising, pests have been more active than ever. Osterling's Lawn and Garden has just what you need to help keep those pests away. They have fly traps, ribbons, baits, sprays, mosquito repellents to help protect your houses and barns. There's plenty of grain-free dog food, Perfect Coat dog shampoo, canned cat food, and cat milk replacers in stock. Even horse halters and horse brushes are still available. Stop by Osterling's Lawn and Garden to see all the amazing in-store specials they have going on.
Welcome back. It's the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Open talk right now. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about taking care of houseplants. You have houseplants? Got some good tips for you on how to care for them, how to make sure that they thrive, or in some cases, how to make sure they don't die. On the vine, we'll be talking with horticulturist Leslie Halleck a little bit later on the program today. Open talk right now on this very stormy and wet Thursday. We've had a couple of go-rounds of storm activity here in our region already. We had some pretty severe storms that rolled through before dawn this morning. Depending on where your location is, 4:30, 5 o'clock, heavy lightning, thunder, were you awakened? Yeah. Mother Nature was putting on quite a show. We had downpours. And then that kind of tapered off. And then we had another go-round mid-morning today, which hit everybody pretty hard. We had another round of downpours here in the Butler area, and the streets were all running full of water. And some places, especially south of Butler, were even harder hit. A lot of roads closed in the Allegheny County, Westmoreland County area due to high water. We have not had any reports, I don't think, into the newsroom, have we, about flash flooding here in Butler County? which is, I mean, thank goodness for that. But given the problems that we've had recently, that's wonderful. I mean, we just had high water in the West End of Butler again this past weekend, Saturday and Sunday, with the Sullivan Run running full. I drove past it when I stepped out to get a bit of lunch mid-morning today, and boy, it was flowing fast and furious when I drove over the bridge there on West Brady Street. So, well, hopefully we won't get any flash flooding in our area. The worrisome part is we've got more to come today. The National Weather Service says there'll be at least one more round of these showers and thunderstorms, and they may be heavier than what we've had already, and they will probably last longer. That's going to be sometime later this afternoon. No exact timetable yet, maybe not until late afternoon, but it looks like we'll be getting quite a few more. Great, huh? Just what we need. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break here and then get ready to hook up with our guest for today, Leslie Halleck, talking about how to care for your plants, especially your indoor house plants. She'll have some tips, too, on plants that you take outside during the summertime. So please stick with us. We'll be talking about plant parenting with Leslie Halleck coming up in just a few minutes.
In the middle of this summer heat, take a Saturday night and go back to the good old days with an evening of golden memories at the Tanglewood Center. On Saturday, July 13th, enjoy listening to music spanning nearly four decades with performances by the Doo-Wop Shop and Platinum 2. Doors open at 6, buffet dinner by Chef George at 7, show starts at 8. Tickets are $25, and as always, it's BYOB. It's an evening of golden memories, Saturday, July 13th at the Tanglewood. For tickets, call 724-287-0021.
In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Going Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time from trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Going Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Going Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Going Postal Butler.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers is celebrating 25 years of calling Butler home, and they're inviting you to join them for an ice cream social. On Thursday, July 25th at the Tanglewood Center from 5:30 to 7:30, come enjoy a fun few hours with Brewster's Ice Cream, basket raffles, and a chance to visit with the Tri-Rivers physicians and staff. There's no cost to attend, but please RSVP for the event by July 19th by visiting TriRiversMSK.com.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
All of us listeners, I think, have to deal with problems with houseplants every once in a while. We're going to talk about that on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey, and our guest joins us by telephone, Leslie Halleck, who is the author of a marvelous new book called Plant Parenting. Leslie, nice to have you with us. I've been looking forward to chatting with you for a few minutes here today.
Likewise. Thanks for having me on, and any chance I get to talk about plants, I'm in. So happy to be here.
Well, the subtitle of your book is Easy Ways to Make More Houseplants, Vegetables, and Flowers. Let's talk about houseplants first of all. I think most folks have at least a couple. I happen to have many. I love plants indoors, but it can be a struggle sometimes, right? What are some of the typical problems that we face trying to keep houseplants healthy?
Well, I think a lot of beginning houseplant keepers struggle with things like figuring out where to put plants so they get enough light. You know, that's, I see a common problem is just understanding, you know, light and where to put certain plants. And then, of course, once you bring plants inside, and you know this if you also garden outside, pest and disease issues are really different indoors than they are outdoors. And all of a sudden, things like mealybugs and spider mites can just explode on indoor houseplants, especially if they're stressed. And so, you know, certainly there are a number of things that you want to do to be able to take care of that as naturally as you can. So learning how different plants grow in different environments is always key to making sure they stay really vigorous and healthy so that they don't succumb to those disease and pest problems, you know. And then, of course, learning how to water properly, which is different for every plant. But certainly, you know, just like the outdoor garden, your indoor garden is a living organism and things change all the time. So it's always a fun challenge, I think, to get to know your plants.
Speaking of watering, there's actually a danger in watering too much, as much a danger as not watering enough, correct?
Oh, sure. In fact, most houseplant keepers, especially beginners, often succumb to, you know, death by water with their plants overwatering because, you know, they're trying to be, you know, thoughtful plant parents, right, and take care of their plants. And overwatering tends to be a problem, especially if there are lower light levels, right? So the lower the light, the less, you know, water uptake those plants can really manage with photosynthesis. And so it's easy to overwater. But then when you're talking about propagation, which is what I focus on mostly with the book Plant Parenting, there are also ways to propagate using just water. And it's the trick of knowing, you know, how long to leave your cuttings in water and when to transplant so they don't suffocate, you know, or have problems transplanting is also key when learning how to manage water when you're propagating.
Well, this has always been mystifying to me. As I mentioned, I have quite a few houseplants, but I am by no means an expert. If you are going to propagate, take a cutting, you make a cutting and stick it in a mug of water. So, mm-hmm. You know, my first thought would be maybe that's too much water. Do you need a little dirt in there? Or should you just actually put a cutting in water alone for a while?
It really depends on which plant you're trying to propagate. And so the beginning chapter of the book, I start out explaining how plants multiply, you know, how they naturally propagate themselves, right? And it's different for every species of plant. Some plants, tropicals, that the types you typically grow as houseplants that are endemic to areas with high moisture and high humidity, are able to put on adventitious roots directly in water pretty easily. You know, you think your classic pothos ivy or philodendron. So water rooting is really an acceptable way to root cuttings of a number of plants that don't mind all that extra moisture, and they will develop certain types of root structures that are able to take oxygen in from above the water level. Some other types of cuttings, like say you're going to take a cutting from, you know, your fruit tree or a plant that's sort of semi-woody, oftentimes you could struggle with trying to water root them. So sometimes a potting mix or an inert, you know, rooting substrate is going to be a better option for something that takes a little longer to root. What I always say when you're propagating is that it's really a race to root before you rot. So some plants are going to rot before they root if you put them in water, and other plants, you know, like many tropicals, are going to root very quickly and very easily.
What about spider plants? I know that's the common name, not the scientific name, but a lot of folks have spider plants indoors.
Sure, Chlorophytum, that's the genus on that plant. Or sometimes we used to call them airplane plants, and I think that's making a comeback too. That's probably one of the easiest. They create what we call little propagules, little plantlets that sprout right off the end of a flowering stem, and you can just snip those off and you can just pop them straight up. You usually don't even have to put them in water. So that's probably a great gateway plant, if you will, for a lot of beginners that are looking to try propagation for the first time, for sure. Very easy to grow and very easy to propagate.
What about something that's commonly called elephant ear? I have no idea what the genus name is, but you see that in a lot of homes too.
Yeah, and basically, you know, that's a plant that we often grow outdoors in warmer climates, you know, as a big tuber, and they make big elephant, you know, shaped ear leaves. And usually, you know, because those come from a big tuber-like structure, you're usually not going to take cuttings off of a plant like that. They're generally not going to root for you the same way that you might take a cutting off of a philodendron. But they will form clumps that can be divided. So if you're talking about getting into the outdoor garden with propagation, I do cover things like dividing perennials, and dividing other plants that you might want to lift from the garden. I talk about bulb division. So if you're looking to propagate, you know, from your, even from your hyacinth or any other bulbs you have in the garden, there's lots of different ways to do that. So you have to get to know the structure of the type of plant you want to propagate to figure out the right way to propagate it, because the same methods don't work for every plant, for sure.
And you talk about this in some great detail in your book, Leslie Halleck. The book is entitled Plant Parenting, if you're just joining us. Extensive advice on even how to do things like stem tip cutting and how to properly prepare to make a cutting, right?
I cover everything you need to know about all the different types of vegetative cutting. So I cover seeds and all the different techniques that you need to learn depending on what types of seeds you're trying to germinate or prepare. And then I also cover vegetative cutting. So I break down all the different types of basic cuttings that you would take off of a plant, whether it be a tropical or a garden plant. And I took a lot of pictures for this book because a lot of the propagation books out on the market tend to be a little dry and technical, if you will. You know, they appeal a little bit more to professionals or really serious gardeners. And I wanted to create something that was really accessible and easy to follow for anybody, no matter their level of propagation experience, even if they're a total beginner. So I took a lot of pictures that show you step-by-step how to take all of these different cuttings from different types of plants, and then you can practice with that and learn and then evolve that to other plants that you might want to try to propagate.
Trust me, listeners, there are hundreds of beautiful color pictures in this book, as Leslie was talking about, including something that I'd never seen before, the concept of using yellow sticky paper stuck on a stick in the pot of a houseplant to catch bugs. This works pretty well, I guess, huh, Leslie?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, so if you're in the industry, if you're a professional like me in the industry and you've grown in greenhouses, you know that yellow sticky traps are one of your best friends, and you can use them with your houseplants. So if you've ever had an infestation of those pesky fungus gnats, or whiteflies, you know, which we've all experienced on plants in the house, sort of your first line of defense of getting rid of all those adults are these yellow sticky traps. And it's a little bit brutal if you think about it. They are little yellow cards that have an adhesive on both sides, and you can hang them near your houseplants, and then those flying insects fly around, stick to the paper, and obviously, pass over the rainbow bridge, if you will. You know, so it takes care of those adults. And then you can treat the plant, you know, using something like an insecticidal soap or a horticultural oil to, you know, keep knocking out the next couple of generations that hatch out. But yellow sticky cards are a great way, especially for fungus gnats, you know, that are really annoying to, you know, capture those adults and get rid of them.
I've noticed in some garden shops and greenhouses and so on that they use something like to spray the plants with. You can sometimes see a little bit of residue from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have to do that at home? Can you do that at home?
Sure, and I always recommend using sort of the lowest impact treatment. If you have to resort to a sprayer treatment, obviously if you're talking about house plants, these plants are in your house, so you don't really want to use something that, you know, is going to be toxic. There are products called insecticidal soaps and horticultural oils that are generally very effective at handling a lot of the pests that you have on indoor household plants, like mealybugs and things like that, that can help you get rid of it without, you know, a lot of toxic residue. It essentially breaks down the waxy protective coating on these insects, and that eventually kills them. And so, yes, that white residue that you might often see on plants may be from something like an insecticidal soap or an oil. You might have heard of neem oil. That's a type of horticultural oil that's used to treat pests. So you certainly can use these at home to treat some of those kind of annoying infestations you might get.
We're talking with Leslie Halleck, author of a wonderful, informative, and actually very beautiful, a new book entitled Plant Parenting. You have a whole section of your book, Leslie, that you dedicate to starting your seeds. How to start annuals, perennials, and edibles from seed. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know a lot of folks around here, avid gardeners, like to start tomatoes from seeds, you know, during the late winter time.
Absolutely. I would say that once we hit about August, we head into what I call kind of prime indoor gardening zone, and that's when a lot of people in colder climates are going to starting things a lot of indoors, you know, for their indoor garden, and those of us that are in warmer climates might be starting extra starts for the fall garden. You know, we grow through the winter. So seed starting is definitely a great way to, number one, stretch your gardening budget. Well, taking cuttings is too. So any form of plant propagation is a great way to stretch your budget. And also, if you love to grow edibles, starting from seed is a great way to be able to grow some varieties that you can't get at the garden center, you know, when you want them. So certain heirloom tomatoes and things like that, you might only be able to grow those from seed. And while seed starting seems like the easy place to start for a lot of gardeners, and you may know this, starting seeds indoors comes with some specific challenges. And those that are beginner seed starters often experience, you know, some failure, and that can be discouraging. So there's a couple of key things that I talk about in the book, and it is, one, how to prepare different types of seeds. Certain seeds need certain preparation methods that you might not be aware of in order to germinate properly, or else they might never germinate. And then light, environmental conditions, and watering. I would say that a lack of light is probably where most seed starters failed. Seedlings really require a lot of intense light. And if you really want to dig into indoor grow lighting, my previous book, Gardening Under Lights, goes into all the details. But in Plant Parenting, I do give you a section on how to light your seedlings, which is really an important factor in making sure that you get those really great tomato transplants, right, for your spring garden.
Some folks will take houseplants outdoors during the warm weather months, spring and summer, and then bring them back indoors in the fall. Are there any particular concerns or tips that you need to do if you do that?
Well, I think that's a great way to give your houseplants a little summer vacation, is to set them outside during the warmer season, especially if you've had some pest problems. So that's usually a recommendation I make, that if somebody's got mealybugs or spider mites on their plant, an outside break is a great way to help resolve that. So that's a nice thing to do. And then, you know, the biggest, I think, transition that plants are going to make from outside to inside is going to be the light changes, right? So depending on where they were in your home before you put them outside, and then how much light they were getting outside, sometimes when you bring them back in, the conditions are darker and you may start to lose some foliage, right? So paying attention to the light levels. You might consider adding a grow light into the house if you're struggling with that. If the plants have been getting more light outside, you know, than they were in the home, then grow lights can help you keep those plants happy and healthy through the winter until you might be ready to put some, you know, back outdoors again in the spring or summer.
There's even a section on tools for houseplants, something called a dibber. I'd never heard that word before, and you even have a picture of one, a dibber. What's a dibber, Leslie?
Oh, a dibber is great. So I love cool gardening tools, and there are all sorts of tools, both very traditional and very new and technological and fun. You can do a lot of propagation and planting with just things you have around the house. You can certainly DIY it, but then if you like cool tools, something like a dibber is a great way to make transplanting your seedlings and small cuttings easy. It's basically kind of like a wooden dowel that is graduated and it's narrowed down to a point. And usually they come with little measurement marks on them, and they make a nice little divot right in the soil for you when you're transplanting your seedlings. So you can just use that dibber to make a nice little hole in that pot or out in the garden to drop your seedling or transplant in. You know, without having to dig. So there's lots of handy little tools that you can use to make your propagation and your planting faster and easier.
What if there's somebody that's just getting ready to move into their first apartment or house and they want to load up with houseplants? What are a couple of the easiest houseplants to grow?
Oh gosh, well, I'm always gonna say, you know, a pothos ivy is probably, or the chlorophytum, the airplane spider plant we talked about earlier. Those are two really easy plants to grow. Philodendrons are great for beginners. VZ plants are very easy, tough to grow. So some of the really Sansevieria snake plant, that's a great one. That one you can subject to a lot of abuse before they will, you know, go out on you. So some of those really tough standard foliage houseplants are a great place for beginners to start. And once you get more experience and you keep those plants alive and they're happy, then you generally start getting into things like more funky succulents and things like that.
And there are plants that are very tough to grow indoors. I can remember one time several years ago, I bought one of those little soft pine trees at Christmas time. I think they're called Norwegian. I'm not sure. I can't remember. They're beautiful, you know, in the Home and Garden Center. They're decorated. And I bought one. I said, I'll just keep this, you know, after Christmas time.
Sure.
And it wasn't too long before all the needles fell off. And then I read later about this that that's a particular type of plant that's almost impossible to keep indoors unless you have controlled humidity and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's essentially a tree, right? It's a type of pine tree, and certain trees simply are not going to thrive indoors. Not every plant is going to thrive indoors. They'll dry out very quickly. There's not enough light, and some species of plants require dormancies, right? They aren't going to get indoors, and so they may just continue to go into decline. But when you're running an HVAC system in your house and it dries out the air, plants like that can dry out very, junipers and pines. So, you know, when you buy juniper bonsai, that's another one people really struggle with. And they'll dry out on you and completely die, but they're still green. And a lot of people still think they're alive. But then when they walk up and touch the needles, they just are brittle and fall off. So water, humidity, light, and dormancy are really important to some plants. And that can make them really tricky to try to grow inside. You're better off keeping those in containers outdoors.
Our time begins to run short. You have a section in your book called How to Take a Rhizome Cutting. What the heck is a rhizome, Leslie?
Gosh, well, you know, there are all different structures of a plant, right? You have stems, you have leaves, you have rhizomes, you have roots. So a rhizome is basically sort of a modified tissue that grows kind of under the soil or sometimes just above the soil that can shoot out and eventually be able to produce a new bud shoot and make a new plant. And you can take advantage of plants that have rhizomes by snipping those off and rooting them and growing a whole new plant, just like you can with a stem cutting or a leaf petiole cutting or a root cutting. And I show you step by step in the book how to take all of those different types of cuttings. But again, it's going to go back to that particular species of plant and how it grows, you know, as to figure out whether you can or can't do that.
Leslie Hollick, listeners, is a dedicated horticulturist, a master's degree in horticulture from Michigan State, and she is the author of this really wonderful new book, beautiful book, called Plant Parenting. And Leslie, for goodness sakes, this book would be great for a seasoned gardener or even a complete beginner. Anyone could learn from this, right?
That was the goal, is I wanted it to be accessible to everybody, no matter their level, and I really wanted it to be, like you said, attractive and fun to look at and easy to follow for all of your fun DIY propagation projects.
It's pretty enough that it could be a coffee table book, for goodness sakes. Just leave
Why,
it out.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Leave it out for guests to take a look at, too. Plant Parenting is the title of the book, the author, Leslie Hollick. Leslie, nice to talk with you today. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Likewise. Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. So long now.
Everyone's trying to beat the heat, so why bring it into your kitchen? There's no need to slave over a hot stove when you can go to Michael's Restaurant. They're cooking burgers, hoagies, pizzas, soups, and salads to feed the entire family. So relax, stay cool, and take the family to Michael's Restaurant, Route 422 in Butler.
Hello, I'm Jody Weaver, and I serve Central Electric Cooperative members as president of the board, a Clarion County board representative, and a member of the annual meeting board committee. I wanted to take a moment and personally invite all Central Electric members to attend our annual meeting on August 23rd. This event is a great opportunity to meet with cooperative board members and staff as well as elected officials. It also offers live music, a delicious meal, and a chance to win prizes. This year, there will even be drone demonstrations, information on solar panels, a health fair, and more. Children ages 5 to 10 are also encouraged to attend and can enjoy a variety of activities and prizes just for them. Reserve your spot today by calling Central Electric or visiting www.central.coop. At Central Electric, safety is everyone's responsibility. My personal safety goal is to stay focused on potential hazards while driving and to never text and drive. What's yours? This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
How would you describe driving and parking in Pittsburgh? Long? Stressful? How about expensive? If you are answered yes to any of these, then the Butler Transit Authority is here to help. With comfy coach buses equipped with free Wi-Fi and USB ports, commute to Pittsburgh stress-free and economically. With fares starting at just $3.87, not sure if it's for you? Try it out for free. BTA is offering 4 full weeks of transportation completely free the third week of May, June, July, and August. For more information, schedules, and park-and-ride locations, visit butlertransit.com.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Just take time, and all through my coffee break.